Well, good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning ungathering of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in this morning to this live stream. Although there is no bulletin this morning, remember that you can always check the rbctoday.com website for up-to-date announcements and other information. As we begin this morning, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, although we're unable to be together physically, we are grateful today for this opportunity and for the technology that makes it possible for us to still connect in this challenging time caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. And Lord, we look to you first and foremost as the God who is our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. Lord, you alone reign over this world in wisdom, power, and love. We praise you alone as our God, the one who has loved us with an everlasting love, the love that led you to send your one and only Son, Jesus, to bear our sins on the cross, and by his death and resurrection to provide salvation to all who would repent and put their trust in him alone. Lord, we pray today for the many who are leading our nation and our state during this challenging time. We pray for our President, Donald Trump, for Vice President Mike Pence, for Governor Mike DeWine and Lieutenant Governor John Houston. Lord, we pray for the health officials leading the national efforts and those leading our state's efforts in fighting this pandemic. We pray for members of Congress as they discuss and decide ways to mitigate the extreme financial impact on families in our nation. Lord, we ask that they would all have wisdom, humility, and a spirit of true service and selflessness as they make decisions and recommend actions during this difficult time. Father, we pray for those in the front lines who are fighting this disease, our doctors, nurses, and many, many other health professionals. We pray for the first responders, for National Guard service personnel, and for others, Lord, who are putting themselves at risk of infection due to their service. Lord, we pray for retail workers still doing their jobs so that we can have what we need to live in our homes. We pray for those who have lost jobs and those who are facing financial hardship as a result of this. Lord, we lift up the sick, the aged, those who already have compromised immune systems. We pray for the families of those who have died, who've lost loved ones, as well as for those who are currently infected and fighting this virus. Father, we pray for those who are infected who don't even know it, Lord, which reminds us of the need to be wise and responsible in our interactions. Lord, we pray for ourselves and for all our sister churches, as well as for all believers in Christ, to be neither fearful nor foolish during this time. Lord, help us to exercise wise and responsible love for one another and for all our neighbors. And Father, we pray that you would use this pandemic to turn hearts and lives to the one who has conquered sin, disease, and death, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we look to you to speak to us from your word as we consider your instruction for us, perhaps your rebuke to us, your correction, and your training in righteousness that is provided from this holy book. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I invite you to take your Bible and join me in turning to Psalm 30. Psalm 30 is where we're going to be spending our time this morning. I'm going to be reading all 12 verses in just a moment and looking at what that has to teach us this morning. But first, a personal story. Several years ago, I came down with the flu. I was so sick that I was reminded of the words of a friend of mine who had been sick once before, very, very sick, which expressed how I felt at that time. He said, "I was so sick, I was afraid I was going to live." Have you ever been there? That's how I felt during that flu experience. Well, while I was lying in bed, unable to do much of anything else, I turned on the TV and turned to the local PBS station, WOSU, Channel 34. And what do you think they were showing? Of all things, it was a documentary on the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic that had infected an estimated 500 million people worldwide and killed an estimated 20 to 50 million people, 675,000 of them Americans. The statistics and the stories were heartbreaking as well as horrifying. It was perhaps not the best viewing choice for me at that particular moment, but I took some solace in the assumption that I had at that time that something like that could never happen today. I thought erroneously that modern medicine and technology had advanced to the point where pandemics like that and others down through history were just that, history. Now, I'm not saying that the coronavirus, COVID-19, this pandemic, is going to be like the 1918 flu pandemic. But there are some things that this can remind us of and teach us, even or maybe especially in the modern world in which we live. This morning, I want us to consider from Psalm 30 a time in King David's life that speaks to us at all times, but especially at this time. Follow with me as I read from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let's consider 4 points from this psalm that are instructive for us this morning. First of all, we're going to look at David's praise, how he praised the Lord throughout this psalm, beginning, middle, and end. Then we're going to look at David's problem. What was it that David was facing for which he cried out to the Lord? Then we're going to look at David's pride. I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. And then finally, we will look at David's plea. First of all, notice David's praise. As I said, this psalm is filled with praise, beginning, the end, and the middle. Verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Verses 4 and 5, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. And then at the end, verses 11 and 12, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. One of the things that we learn here from David's experience is that even when we're going through difficulty, it's good to praise the Lord. In fact, it's good to start with praise before we pour out our heart, our pleas to the Lord. David had a serious problem. He needed the Lord's help. But that's not how he started his prayer. He focused first on how God had blessed him and praises the Lord for those blessings before moving on to his need. You see, the Lord had delivered him from whatever this serious situation was, which we're going to discuss in a moment. And David was faithful to acknowledge that his rescue, whatever means the Lord used, came from the Lord. That's a good thing to remember as we're in the midst of this pandemic, and when especially we get on the other side of it, to remember who it is that protects us, who it is that provides it for us, who it is that is superintending all that takes place. It's a good habit to fill your prayers with praise and thanksgiving. It's a good thing to begin your prayers with praise and thanksgiving. Now, sometimes you're in the heat of the moment, you're in a situation where all you can do is like Peter did when he was walking on the water and started to sing, "Lord, help!" Sometimes that's all we can do, and that's fine. But many times, as we pray to the Lord, we need to stop first and foremost and thank him and praise him for his blessings, for his goodness to us. There are a number of reasons why it's good to do this. First of all, it keeps before us a reminder of the blessings that we already have, that we still have, which we can easily overlook when we're going through trouble, when we're facing adversity. Think about that right now. During this time of disruption due to this disease called COVID-19, what blessings do you still enjoy? Temporal blessings? Eternal blessings? What is it that you still have? Focus on that. Not only that, but praising God also reminds us who it is that we pray to, who our God is. He is the God who is both able and willing to hear and answer. Our God is mighty. As I mentioned in my opening prayer, he is the creator and the sustainer of all that is. Our God is also loving and merciful, gracious, faithful, and generous. Consider with me just a moment some of the things that God has done for his people, some of the ways he has displayed both his power and his mercy on behalf of his people. He is the God who delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt with a mighty hand. Not only sending plagues on the Egyptians while sparing his people, but also parting the Red Sea so that there was a wall of water on each side as they marched through on dry ground. Think about that. Parting the sea and they marched through on dry ground. Who can do that but our God, the one true and living God? He is the God who provided for these Israelites in the wilderness, providing all that they needed, food, water, even going to the point of causing their clothes and their sandals not to wear out in those 40 years of wandering. He's the God who led them into the promised land, who dispossessed the nations that were living there, driving them out in often miraculous ways. He is the God who enabled a little shepherd boy named David to slay the warrior giant Goliath. He's the God who delivered his people again and again. Remember the time that he delivered them from the Assyrians when they were besieged by them, and in one night slaying 185,000 of the Assyrian army without the Israelites having to lift a finger. Most of all, he is the God who sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, raise him from the dead, so that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. Never forget that God literally moved heaven and earth for your salvation, for your forgiveness, for your deliverance. Because the Bible teaches that we all have a problem. It's called sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those sins, as the scripture says, is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. Separation from God's love and mercy forever under His wrath. But because God is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, He caused us to be born again. He led us to repentance and faith in the one that He provided to atone for our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have yet to receive this gift of salvation through turning from your sins and putting your trust in Jesus and Him alone, do that right where you are, even this morning. You don't even have to listen to the rest of the sermon. Just turn in your heart, cry out to God for salvation. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And this same God who loves us with an everlasting love is the one who still sovereignly superintends over His world. He controls all things, even disease. Yes, even viruses. Praising God reminds us of who our God is, what He has done and what He still does for us. But praising God honors Him. It demonstrates to a watching world that we really do have a God worth praising and worth serving. And it pleases Him. Well, in addition to David's praise, notice David's problem. While it's not explicit, it's pretty evident that David had been stricken by an illness that threatened to take his life. At least he very much thought he was going to die. Notice in verse 2, "O Lord my God, I cry to You for help, and You have healed me." Verse 3, "O Lord, You have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit." The use of the word Sheol and pit reveal that David really was at death's door, so much so that when he was healed, he felt as if he had been given new life. Sheol is the Old Testament word for the realm of the dead. It doesn't refer either to heaven or hell, but simply to being dead. It's the place of the dead. It's basically synonymous here with those who go down to the pit. We don't know how God healed David. We don't know if it's directly. We don't know if He used physicians. We don't know what it was that the Lord used. But we know that whatever He used, God was the one who healed him. That's why, again, David praised the Lord, and not whatever means he may have used. Whatever problems we have, it's right to take them to the Lord and, again, to praise Him when they are resolved. A reminder, it is our God who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" That's a good question. I read a book many years ago by Steve Brown entitled Approaching God. It's a book on prayer. And one of the things that stuck in my memory from that book, after encouraging those who read the book to bring everything to God, both big and little things to God, he makes this statement: everything is little to God. Think about that. What could be too big for the God who created everything, who spoke the world into existence, who spoke the universe into existence? What could be too God? Let me ask you this. What are your fears regarding this unprecedented moment? What are you facing because of this virus? What have you already lost? What are you afraid of losing? God has not told us the precise purpose for this pandemic. We do not know how many will get sick, how many will die. The forecasts are not good. We do not know the eventual effects in many areas of our lives. But we know this: none of this has surprised God. None of this is outside of His control. is not outside of his purpose or his plan. But there's something for sure that this virus has revealed. And that's my third point. David's pride. Because David's pride is also our pride. In verses 6 and 7, David gives us either the reason for his sickness or simply an awareness of his foolishness. And I tend to think it's the latter. David thought because he had experienced so many blessings, because he was so healthy and everything else was going right, that it would never end. He had been proud and trusted in himself and his blessings rather than in the giver of these blessings. David thought he was the master of his fate, the captain of his soul. God showed him otherwise. As for me, David writes, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Whoa. And then he goes on. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain strong. He recognizes that it was indeed not himself. It was God who had blessed him. And then he adds this, you hid your face, I was dismayed. In other words, God withdrew a sense of his blessing. God withdrew his hand of protection on David, and David experienced something horrifying, something that he thought was going to lead to his death. What we see here is that, just like David, we don't do well with prosperity. In other words, we have a tendency when things are going well, whether we're healthy, whether all of our needs are met, got a little money in the bank, whatever it may be, we have a tendency to trust in those things rather than in the Lord. We need to be careful not to take God's blessings for granted. We must not take our health or our material or physical prosperity for granted, nor forget that all of our blessings may be withdrawn at any time. I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. You know, if that doesn't describe our nation, our world before this pandemic, what does? I think about Daniel chapter 5. And it's a long chapter. I'm not going to read all of it. It was a situation where there was a king named Belshazzar who was proud of his accomplishments and did not give glory to God. And the Lord reminded him of how quickly things could change for him. I'm going to read some verses from Daniel chapter 5. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read beginning first in read verses 1 through 9. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them, taking the vessels that were meant to be used for God's worship to be used for him to drink wine. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank for them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed, and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way, and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed, and his color changed, and his lords were perplexed. He searched high and low, and finally somebody thought Daniel could do it. Verse 13, then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, you are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought before Judah. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. And so on and so forth. And so finally Daniel gives a response about what this writing on the wall was. Verse 17 and following, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed. And whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up. And whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly. That is, he said in his prosperity, I shall never be moved. He was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. And then he goes on with the story about Nebuchadnezzar, picking up verse 22, and you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and of gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, I'm not saying that I know that God has brought this on as a judgment. But there is little doubt that our world has praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. That is, the works of our hands. Financial, material success, scientific and technological advances, and many other works of our own minds and our hands. We have given honor and glory to the wrong gods, not to the one true and living God. We're all praying for protection from this coronavirus, both for ourselves and for our nation and for our world. We also need to pray for repentance. We need to pray that this pandemic would result in some humility and genuine repentance on a worldwide scale for genuine spiritual awakening as a result of what has been brought upon us. Well, the last thing that I want to point out is David's plea, his prayer to the Lord. These aren't the final verses. We've already looked at the final verses where David ends in praise. But notice what he writes in verses 8 through 10. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. David knew that although he had been guilty of sin against the Lord in his pride, in thinking that he could never be moved, God was still a merciful God. That God would hear his prayer. David shows us how to plead with God. He says, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? In other words, David didn't say, Lord, there are all these hopes and dreams that I had that are still unfulfilled. Lord, I haven't seen my children or grandchildren graduate, get married, have children, etc. He didn't say, Lord, you know, I've got this bucket list of things that I still want to do before I die. No. David knew that as much as the Lord loves his children and delights to give us good things, which he does, as much as his purposes for us are good and not evil, God's greatest concern is for His own glory. We were created to glorify Him. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to joy Him forever. So David appeals to the Lord on the basis of God's glory. Lord, if I die, how can I praise You? How can others hear of Your greatness and Your goodness from my lips? Glorifying Him and praising Him, telling of His faithfulness, is what David wanted to do. It's why David wanted to be spared, why he wanted his life spared. Let me ask you, what is your plea to the Lord in the midst of this pandemic? And why is that your plea? What are your prayers to the Lord? It is not wrong to pray for protection, physical or otherwise. It is not wrong to pray for healing. It is not wrong to pray for this pandemic to do very little, relatively little damage to your family or to our nation. It's not wrong. But let me ask you this. Are you asking the Lord to give you opportunities to speak gospel hope to family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and so on in the midst of this pandemic? Are you asking the Lord to enable you to demonstrate the difference that Christ makes in the lives of those who belong to Him, even in the face of a what for many is a fearful situation? Are you asking for wisdom to be able to reach out and worship compassion in the Lord's name while still honoring the request and the need to keep physical distance? Remember, this request to keep social or physical distance, some have pointed out that physical distance is maybe a better term. This request is not primarily about you or your own health necessarily, but it's about protecting your community. This virus seems to spread faster than anything I've ever heard of, in large part because of how long you can be infected before showing any symptoms. So we want to reach out in compassion, but we want us to do it in a wise way. Are you praying for wisdom and for opportunities to do that? Are you praying that this pandemic will result in a great worldwide turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance and faith? We should plead with God for mercy in the midst of this pandemic. He is rich in mercy. But we also need to be responsible to do what we can and what we've been asked to do by those in authority. Some of you may still not believe this is a serious situation. Even if you believe the steps we've been asked to take are unnecessary or overblown, it's still biblical to submit to those in authority and not resist, either in word or in deed. Let me ask you this. What real harm can be done by practicing physical distancing and even self-isolation if needed? I mean, after all, you don't make the big decisions. You know, those are left to others. But you have the decisions to make of whether or not to honor those in authority who are requesting us to follow their lead. What good can come from grumbling or complaining or resisting or defying what we've been asked or mandated to do? While we're praying to the Lord, let's be obedient to those in authority over us. But then again, our ultimate hope and help will not come from man. We are grateful for any righteous means that God may use. But our hope is in the one whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, whose kingdom endures from generation to generation, who does according to His will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, as Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4. But He is also the one who is rich in mercy, whose mercy is far greater than our pride, more enduring than our sin. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins there are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Would you bow with me for prayer? Our God and Heavenly Father, we confess our pride. We confess, Lord, our tendency to trust in your gifts, whether they be material gifts or physical gifts, gifts of health, whatever they may be, Lord, gifts of knowledge, gifts of technology. Lord, we confess that we have made gods of these and given glory to them more than we have to you. Father, we repent. We ask forgiveness. Father, we pray for mercy for ourselves, for our nation, for our world. We pray, Father, that you would indeed receive honor and glory and blessing from our lives, from all of your people, Lord, and beyond, Lord, that ultimately you would be seen as the gracious and great God you are. For your glory and for our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Following the benediction, you're going to have an opportunity to see what I've been seeing, to be encouraged, or to see what has encouraged me as I have been preaching this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hope you have a great day and a great week.